Hello and welcome to episode 3 of Affinity Finance Podcast. I'm Lauren Ashen, Client Relationship Manager at Affinity Finance, and today I'm with Tom Carter from Rotebrook Chambers. We are going to discuss damages for treatment and diminution in value. It's good to be back, Tom.
Hi again, Lauren. Good to be back too.
So today we're talking about damages for treatment and diminution in value. What kind of treatments are there?
Two main kinds. There's herbicide treatment and excavation. Herbicide treatment is spraying with herbicide onto the leaves. The herbicide goes down into the rhizome of the plant and kills the plant. Excavation is what it says. It's just digging up all of the plants, but it goes beyond that because knotweed can spread so widely. It's digging up anything within the potential area that might contain rhizome. So identifying the plant and then going anything up to 7 meters around that and excavating all of the soil.
Brilliant. What would you say is best then? Is it better to claim for herbicide treatment or for excavation?
Excavation normally costs more, which sometimes makes claimants think it's a better option because they think, well, I'd rather have it excavated, and if I can recover the cost from the defendant, fine, and it increases the value of the claim. So excavation on the face of it might look attractive for claimants. But my view is often it's a pitfall. There are some kinds of cases where excavation is a bad idea when you think it through. One of those kinds of cases is where you have encroachment before the defendant had knowledge of the knotweed. And I know on an earlier podcast we spoke about this, but where you have that kind of case of encroachment, let's say in 2010, defendant didn't know about it until 2012. In that kind of case, excavation can potentially torpedo the whole of the claimant's claim because the defendant could argue that, well, if the knotweed had encroached before, we should have done anything about it, and the appropriate thing to do is to excavate it anyway, then if there's excavation, which the defendant would say not liable for, then there's no diminution in value remaining and there's nothing else the claimants need to do. So actually, in that kind of case, it would be dangerous. My view for that reason mainly is that herbicide treatment is the better option to pursue, even though the headline figure is usually lower. Normally for herbicide treatment, a quote would come in somewhere about £3,000 to £4,000 for an average garden in a residential property. Excavation usually 10 to 15 potentially as an average residential property, but I think herbicide tends to be better. The other reason I think herbicide is better is, even ignoring the scenario where you have encroachment before the defendant knew, there is still a risk that a court would say, if you get to trial, if there's excavation, there is no diminution in value. And I had that. I had one case. We ran to trial. We won. But the judge awarded excavation, but said, well, if it's being excavated, they're not going to award anything for diminution in value because it's gone. And so although the damages for excavation meant the treatment costs were higher, it meant the overall value of the claim was lower than it might have been with herbicide and diminution in value. So for that reason, in 90% of cases, I would say herbicide treatment is actually the better option to go for.
Okay. And they're both quite substantial figures as well then.
Yeah, they are. Treatment costs normally less, £3,000 to £4,000, as I say, roughly. But it's still a fair amount of money in terms of combining that with diminution in value and any other damages, still potentially looking at a fairly high value claim.
Can you claim for diminution in value then?
You can. There's some confusion because there are articles online and different people saying different things about what was said in the Williams and Network Rail case in the Court of Appeal. The quick answer is you can claim for diminution provided you can show a nuisance. And you show a nuisance by establishing knotweed has encroached onto the claimant's land from the defendant's land. If that's established and you have the evidence to show a diminution value, you can claim for it. Where the confusion has come from, and this might be an argument that you find defendants still arguing, I've had to fight this argument and we've won, but defendants have raised it, is in the Court of Appeal judgment, they analysed the judge's decision from the trial, and the judge's decision from the trial had been on the basis that there would have to be physical damage to rely on encroachment. But he accepted our alternative argument, which was, as long as knotweed is nearby to the boundary, that can establish liability. The Court of Appeal took the opposite view and found that there doesn't need to be damage, but there does need to be encroachment, and that if knotweed isn't within the boundaries, that's not enough. And in that context, they analysed the judge's decision and said that his approach was effectively to allow damages simply for diminution. And the word simply is crucial. A lot of people have read that and read, you can't claim damages simply for diminution, and think that means you can't recover damages for diminution in value, full stop. But that's wrong. What it's saying is diminution on its own isn't enough. You have to have the nuisance in the first place that causes the diminution. And in any of these claims, that's usually not going to be an issue, because if you don't have knotweed within the boundaries and you can't show it's encroached, you wouldn't normally be getting as far as dealing with diminution in value anyway. So that's the long version. But again, the short answer is yes, you can claim for diminution.
So what evidence do you need for claiming?
The main thing is an expert report from a surveyor to deal with what the value would be without knotweed and what the value is with knotweed. That's the main thing. Some surveyors will actually ask also for estate agents to do valuations of the property without knotweed, and they'll then work from that to establish the diminution in value. Some won't. Some will be able to value it without knotweed as well. Often it depends on whether they're local to the area and whether they have any particular knowledge of any particular relevant factors. But either way, you need an expert report from a surveyor to deal with diminution in value. If you have a case where the claimant has actually already sold, which does happen, then you need evidence to show that there was a reduction in the sale price because of knotweed. Often you have a house listed at, let's just say, £200,000. And as we all know, somebody might make an offer of, let's say, £190,000. And if there are no other buyers willing to pay £200,000, the seller might say, OK, I'll sell to you for £190,000. It doesn't automatically mean that was because of knotweed. What you need, and this might be easy, might be difficult, depending on whether the claimant is able to get their estate agents to help, whether there's correspondence to show this, sometimes there is, you need something from the estate agent or the conveyancers, ideally an email or some kind of correspondence to say the buyer pulled out because of knotweed, or the buyer is now willing to pay less because of knotweed. And often that happens after they have a survey and the surveyor identifies knotweed. So in that kind of case, you would need that as well, still then supported with a surveyor's report. The one thing also I should say about that evidence is the surveyor will usually, and your instructions should make sure that they're asked to deal with this, value it without knotweed, value it with knotweed, but then also what's called the residual diminution in value, which is to say, once treatment's been put in place and the knotweed is signed off as eradicated, but the 10-year insurance back guarantee kicks in so that the knotweed might still come back during that time, what is the diminution at that point? And that's the residual diminution, i.e. the diminution that's still there after treatment. The full figure for diminution is normally much higher, but my experience is courts never allow that. They always allow the residual diminution in value. The reason for that is because otherwise claimants would be overcompensated. If we, again, use round figures, if you have property worth £200,000 with knotweed, the full diminution in value at the moment, let's say, is £50,000. But if the claimant spent £3,000 on treating, the residual diminution would only be, let's say, 15. So the difference there is reducing the diminution from 50 to 15 by only spending 3,000 to treat. If the claimant was awarded the 50,000 and then used 3,000 of that to treat it, their actual diminution still goes down to 15, but they've effectively been overcompensated for the extra 32,000 by being awarded the full amount. And I've never known a case, other than where defendants possibly don't reply and a claimant gets judgment in default, where the court would award the full diminution. So when you value a claim early on, or you're thinking about the issue fee or how to draft the claim, I would say use the residual diminution in value, because you have to be realistic about what the court's going to award. and the court is never realistically going to award the full diminution. So when you instruct a surveyor, should make sure that they include the full diminution, but also the residual diminution in value, because you will need that figure for bringing a claim.
Okay, and you've touched on some figures there, and I know, were they maybe just an example? What sort of figures would you normally expect for diminution?
For residual diminution, which is how I always value these claims, because as I say, that's usually the figure that you will end up with, unless, say, a defendant just doesn't file a defence and you get judgment in default. Realistically, looking at between 5 to 10% for residual diminution in value, you can often value it as a rough and ready figure without having a surveyor early on. If you have a claimant who has a property which they only bought, let's say, a year ago for £50,000, then you can take a fairly estimated guess that their diminution in value is probably going to be quite low, because 5 to 10% of that is going to be £2,500 to £5,000. If it's a more valuable property, 200,000, 300,000 or above, then again, the figure's likely to be higher, but the percentages, roughly speaking, will stay about the same. There was an article in a RICS journal from a surveyor, Philip Santo, who is one of, in my opinion, the good experts that I would recommend claimants look to use. And he does defendant work as well, but that's one reason he's a good expert, because he's not seen as simply a hired gun for either claimants or defendants. He wrote a paper which isn't binding, but was the first really detailed attempt to try and explain how somebody might actually approach diminution in value. And he includes some factors in that journal which may be relevant. So he talks about where you have a very high value property, the percentage diminution may be less, because if you have, let's take an extreme example, £5 million property, a 10% reduction in that is going to be huge, far more than ever the cost of treating knotweed would be. Whereas a £50,000 property, somebody might not necessarily have the money to pay easily for treatment, and it probably is going to take up a bigger percentage of the value. So at the extremes of the high and low ends, you may have higher or lower percentages. But as a rough and ready approach, I'd usually say assume 5 to 10%. And then if you're able to give a rough calculation for that, great. But if you have a client who bought the house many years ago, and so it's really difficult to ascertain what it might actually be worth now, often you do have to get the surveyor's report fairly early to have any real idea of what kind of figures am I actually looking at.
Brilliant. Thank you very much for that. So you've just touched on one expert that you would recommend there. Are there any others, Tom, that you've worked with or that you'd recommend?
Yeah, there are a couple in particular. Philip Santo, as I say. Another one is Paul Rain. Paul Rain is good because, again, he does a mix of claimant and defendant work. He acted for the defendant Network Rail in the Williams and Network Rail case. As it happened, at trial, we didn't have live evidence from the surveyors, but his evidence was preferred in that case over the claimants. He's a good expert. He gives detailed reports. And again, because he's not seen as partisan, his reports, in my experience, tend to carry more weight. So Paul Rain, I would recommend. Philip Santo, again, I would recommend. He's another good expert and he's seen as reliable.
Brilliant. Thanks, Tom. And I'm sure you've seen the article from earlier this week from Environet and them looking to use their trained sniffer dogs.
Yeah, I have seen that. It's brilliant. Yeah, they've got two Labradors. They look, I have to say, they look very nice in the photo I saw. They seem to be having fun.
Well, we'll have to watch that space to see how they get on. Yeah. But thank you very much for today, Tom. So that completes episode 3. We're now halfway through our series of podcasts on Japanese knotweed claims. So thanks for joining again today, Tom.
Thanks, Lauren.
So join us next week when we will be discussing limitation and other damages.